Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Kropp, Director of the Center for Inclusive Childcare, and I'm here today with Priscilla Weigel, an Inclusion Consultant with the Center. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy. Great to be here.
Our podcast over the next few weeks will be dealing with in-depth questions and answers pertaining to the successful inclusion of children with special needs in early childhood and school-age settings. And Priscilla is our resident expert. She's going to be telling us some of the situations that she encounters as she goes out into childcare settings and works with professionals who are trying to include children successfully in their programs. And so we're going to ask her today to talk to us about one particular topic, and that's environments.
Great. The environment and setting up the environment for success is really a foundational topic, I think, to cover in these podcasts, just because a lot of times when a child is having challenges, a child with special needs or a child that just is a child who's developing typically, we can look at the environment or the care setting in whether it's a child care home or a center or a school-age program and determine, is the setting causing the behaviors, or is the setting really helping this child to have positive and happy days, or is it hindering that? And so when we look at that whole piece of environment, I always like to start out with helping the provider with their attitude, kind of deciding. You have to understand and believe that inclusion is possible.
So, Priscilla, you see attitude as part of the environment.
Definitely. Yeah, I really think that that's the first step.
Great. And so how do you get somebody to sort of begin to see or look at their attitude towards either the children that you're coming to particularly consult about or maybe inclusion or challenging behaviors in general?
I try to spend time asking the provider about the child, if there's a specific child that's the issue. Asking them to kind of tell me about the positive aspects of that child's personality, the things that child does well in the setting and that seem to be going smoothly, and then have them describe some of the things that are challenging them, and throughout the conversation pointing out that they are really doing inclusion on a daily basis. I think we talked about this maybe in our first podcast too, just that there's not this magic key. Mm-hmm. Inclusion is really happening all over the place if you're working with children in a multi-age setting. And so you're adapting your activities and your environment to meet the child's need wherever they are developmentally. And so I try to help providers understand that they're really doing it, mm-hmm. and it's not this magical, difficult formula. It's just a matter of maybe moving some things around but initially starting out with the idea in their mind and heart that, you know what, we're going to give this our best shot. Mm-hmm. And that's really the goal when I talk about the attitude piece, is just helping provider get to that point of, I'm willing to try this.
That's great. I think that positive approach really does make a difference. And from what I'm hearing you say, you come in and you really build on strengths that the practitioner already has in place, even though you may see that there certainly could be some changes that could be made in either the approach of the practitioner or the relationship or specific to the child. But you like to come in with that positive approach, and I understand why that would be really important as you're looking at the environment, because again, you're looking at, in this instance, the emotional environment. So talk to us a little bit about the global environment, the setting itself, and maybe you could give us a specific example of a situation where you have gone in to work with a child who you were contacted about, who had a challenging behavior, or for some reason a program was really trying to include a child. It might have been a different kind of disability as well, and the environment seemed to be to you a hindrance to that inclusion.
Okay. looking at just the physical environment, oftentimes when you walk into any setting, be it a shopping mall or your home or someone else's home, you yourself have a feeling about that setting, whether it's you feel overloaded, you feel comforted, you feel that it's welcoming, all those things. And so ideally, when you look at an early childhood setting, we're supposed to be making that child, from the second they set foot in that room, feel, and not making them, but encouraging them to feel welcome and to feel like they belong and feel a part of that. So when we look at kind of that emotional environment first, how is that feeling? What are the teachers doing, or the providers, the practitioners, what are they doing to welcome the child? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes kids that are posing challenges, they maybe are the kids that teachers have a hard time connecting with, or maybe they're frustrated with that child, and it's something that you can sense in the interaction socially. So looking at the fact that their environment needs to be respectful, responsive, so that when a child is in need of assistance or support, that provider is there. Sometimes I think we feel and we get overwhelmed with the amount of bodies that are in our care, mm-hmm. and it's hard to meet those needs when they arise. But if we try to meet them immediately or as quickly as possible, it eliminates those behaviors excelling and accelerating and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that respectful and responsiveness to say, I understand you need my help, even if you can't get there that second, putting your hand on their shoulder or looking that child in the eye and getting their attention and saying, I'm going to be there to help you in a second. That is just that responsiveness that's so important. And then it kind of on top of that is just a supportiveness. A child who has challenging behaviors, and I've seen this on occasion after occasion, when they realize, when they sense that provider cares and will help them through mm-hmm. those tough times, they are going to be way more successful. Mm-hmm. And they can sense that. Kids have this intuitiveness about them just through our body language, through the way that we, you know, maybe sit near them when they're having a hard time at group time instead of just yelling at them from across the room, or offering them things that they really enjoy during free play so that they can stay focused instead of saying, these are your options, you know, deal with it.
Right.
Being a little more pliable and supportive so that you're helping your program fit the needs of the child instead of taking this child and just plopping them into this program and saying, you got to make this work, kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that supportiveness, being there, encouraging, helping the child through it. And then, you know, we're always teaching children. And everything that comes out of our mouths really has to be something useful. And so when we're talking to a child who's having a difficult time playing, just removing them from the situation or removing the toy, and, you know, that doesn't teach the child new skills.
Mm-hmm.
All it does is remove the temptation.
That's
or the
a good
challenge.
Point.
And so what are we going to do? Yeah, maybe they're throwing the blocks. So going to that child and saying, you know what? Blocks are for building. Come over here and we're going to take a break mm-hmm. because you're using these and I'm worried people are going to get hurt. Instead of just saying, you're done with blocks
mm-hmm.
and pulling that child away. And so those are the kind of things, when you just think about that social-emotional support, every interaction that a child has with another child, with another adult, is an opportunity for learning. And we're setting that social foundation for their lifetime. And so this is practice time.
Yes.
And so if we just are constantly, you know, being abrupt and short with kids and not using our skills to teach them new things, they're not going to know what to do next time. Yeah, I did it wrong this time. I made a poor choice, but what would be a better choice?
Right.
If I don't take the time to tell them that, they're not going to be able to be successful. So that emotional environment is so important.
Those are excellent tips and strategies, Priscilla, and I really appreciate you sharing them with our audience today. We are going to, in our next podcast, talk more specifically about some strategies, and those would be routines and scheduling, which are very successful techniques for helping children who may be struggling a little bit. And so I'm excited to invite you back to talk about those topics.
Great. I look forward to it.
So thank you very much. And we will see everyone back for our next podcast. Thank
Great.
You, Priscilla.
Sure.
That's all for now. See you next time.